Hillman on CliffCentral.com.
He works at Vanity Fair. He writes for other magazines. He's got a book out. His latest book is called Poking a Dead Frog. And he's also got a phenomenal podcast. You've got to take a listen to it. It's called Doing It with Mike Sachs. We're about to do it with Mike Sachs live from New York. Mike, how's it going?
Great, thanks. I like that song you were just playing.
Yeah, Michael.
Did you know that that was the official? That's the new official song for Trump's campaign.
Really?
Yeah. You didn't know that?
No, I really didn't.
Yeah, it's a little out of the box, but they're going for it.
Huh. Okay, well, I'm glad you brought him up and I didn't have to. He just continues to dominate all media outlets and everything that everyone's speaking about. And it is certainly an interesting time to be Donald Trump, especially because he just killed it at the recent primaries. Ted Cruz also saying, peace out, it's been real. What's the vibe over in your neck of the woods around this Donald Trump guy and the momentum he's gaining?
Well, I don't think there was any question that he was going to win the Republican nomination. The question now remains, and I think people are getting more and more nervous. It's almost like watching a baseball game in the final innings where things start to really matter. How is he going to do against Hillary Clinton? But I do maintain that he will lose and lose badly against her.
What are the timelines now in terms of where we're looking, you know, towards the final election? We've got the Republican candidates, the sort of, you know, being wrapped up. What are the timelines now?
Well, they have the conventions coming up this summer, which should be really interesting. It's looking to be a very long, hot summer, as they say. But so we have that, and then things really start grinding in September through the election in November. So things are a little laid back now, but they're really going to push forward come June or so.
Okay, so when it comes to this Republican nomination, they can still have a contested convention, which means that somebody can try and declare their candidacy. I mean, but you kind of feel like Trump is definitely going to be the Republican candidate, right?
Yeah, I'm not a Republican. I'm no fan of Trump, but I do have to say that I do agree with people. He did win. So for them, the Republicans, to pull the rug out from under him, I think would be a disaster. And whomever they wanted in there, be it Kasich or Cruz or whoever, I think would do even worse against Clinton. So they're stuck with Trump. And they sort of created him anyway, like a Frankenstein's monster. So let him go ravaging through the countryside. They now have to deal with him.
Well, let's touch base on some of the stuff that Barack Obama gave in his last White House correspondence dinner. I mean, he was poking fun at the fact that, you know, a guy like Trump could even be successful because, you know, the barriers to entry to being a president in the United States have, you know, come down so much in the past few generations. So he was even poking fun at the fact that how did we even get you?
Well, exactly. And I thought that was a masterful speech that he gave. His comedic timing is astonishing. I mean, I thought it was better than 99% of the comedians I see. But what he did within that audience, in front of that audience, was give them a little ribbing, basically saying, you're the media. You have not created Trump, but you have perhaps not gone after him like you should. You treated him like a sideshow circus. And if anyone's to blame, it might be you guys.
He had some really punchy lines in that. He spoke about his recent trip to the UK, meeting the members of the royal family. Very upset that Prince George showed up at the meeting in his bathrobe. He very comically said that was a slap in the face. Do you think that President Barack Obama just has a really good sense of comedy being a tool in getting people to think serious thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think all great presidents have that. John F. Kennedy had that. I never met him, but from what I heard, Abraham Lincoln, the 19th century, had that same ability to make people laugh. It's a very, very rare trait among politicians, and you see it among those who are incredibly smart, and I think Obama's brilliant. And I think you have to be smart to have a sense of humor. A lot of smart people don't, but he's one of those who do. What's interesting about that specific event is that the person who hosts always gets a negative reaction. And the D.C. humor, and I used to live in D.C., is very different from New York humor and L.A. humor and Chicago humor. And that is very it's very much a company town. So if you go after the CEO, in this case, the president, the press will come down on you. It's a very incestuous relationship between the press and the politicians in D.C. And if you do go too far, what they perceive to be too far, they will not appreciate it.
I mean, he just handled it like an absolute pro, and certainly he highlighted, you know, his ability to use celebrity and to, I don't know, just come across as a total rock star. I think it was such an amazing way for him to go out. Some people were a little critical, saying that, you know, the whole thing was a little too jokey for them. But certainly if you look at the roots of comedy, and we've discussed this before, being, you know, a means to achieve some sort of social change, he hit every single nail on the head and did it so beautifully. I got to shift gears for a second and talk about this Bernie Sanders oak, and, you know, what's happening with him.
He's this kind of a sad creature. He reminds me of the people I used to see in Eating Alone in the Deli when I used to go with my family. I think he's, you know, he's a decent guy, but I think he's out of his pay grade here, and I don't think he has a chance in hell about pushing forward. But what does concern me is that I think he might be the type who is okay with taking down the presidency if he is not nominated. In other words, he won't say to the Democrats, please now vote for Hillary, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
I think he'll remain in until the very last minute, which I don't think is going to do Hillary's campaign or the Democratic Party's campaign any good.
Yeah, because certainly the two are, you know, in a not mean way, but they are a little critical of each other.
Yeah, and I think most people now realize that Bernie gave it an amazing shot. I don't think anyone predicted he would go this far, but I do think most people are now feeling, except for a very small percentage, it is time to hang it up, and perhaps you can have a role in the Hillary Clinton presidential cabinet if it does come down to that.
All right, let's touch base quickly on something far more frivolous, but equally important in the eyes of many, the recent Met Gala, which took place in your neck of the woods. I don't know, what goes on at the actual gala? I see everybody arrive and everybody enter, but what goes on inside?
Well, there's a lot of networking, and there's dancing, and there's eating. It's just a lot of what you'd imagine goes on. It's just, it's almost like the equivalent of the D.C. Press meet up every year. It's just for celebrities to get together and mingle with the fashionistas. And it's run by, you know, the Anna Wintour, who's the editor-in-chief of Vogue magazine. But it's funny to me that you would even know about that. I mean, I don't really even know about it. I don't really care about it. Does South Africa have any interest in that?
I think from a fashion perspective, people love posting it on social media and looking what different people wore. We're huge fans in South Africa of people like Kanye West and Kim Kardashian and, I don't know, the rest of them. So I did see it on a lot of my timelines with different South Africans weighing in on some of what they'd seen on the red carpet. And obviously it was a big deal for us, Trevor Noah, his second year out at the Met Gala. So whenever Trevor's involved in anything, you know, those pictures and that stuff always makes headlines.
So how's he perceived now back in South Africa when it comes to his show?
So from what I understand, his show's doing pretty well on Comedy Central in South Africa because obviously we get the feed. And he's just an export now. It's, I guess he's starting to, you know, hit that territory, the same territory we feel about Charlize Theron, who's also a South African, who's just gone overseas and done amazing stuff. Same thing with Elon Musk. They're still connected to the country and we're big fans, but we don't see them in our hood every day.
Well, I'm sure, yeah. It's interesting to hear the reaction. I didn't predict this. I thought he would be a bigger smash hit, but there has been some talk about him not fully understanding the American political system, which I found interesting.
But I don't know how he would have caught up on all of that in the space of a year. I think it's going to take quite a bit of time to immerse himself in American culture. But I do think that the show has done a good job of kind of highlighting the fact that, you know, he has a bit of an outsider's perspective. And certainly, I mean, if you look at what John Oliver's doing in terms of his coverage of the elections, you certainly can make concerted and plausible effort in covering the elections, even if you're not necessarily American.
Oh, absolutely. No, I agree with that. No, but there's just been some feeling that, you know, what's missing is crazy anger, which you would have with Jon Stewart. And I think of some Americans feel that they want someone in there who's a bit unhinged, which you're not going to find with Noah.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. I don't know what the ratings are like. I know that online the show is doing a hell of a lot better than when Jon Stewart was on. But he's also signed on to his own show now, right?
He signed on to what?
I think Jon Stewart signed something with HBO, hasn't he?
He did, but I don't know if it's going to be, certainly not a daily, and I don't know if it's going to be politically based. But, you know, he did. And he has full reign. He can do whatever he wants creatively, so it's going to be interesting.
Well, it certainly is an interesting time in your neck of the woods. I guess it always is, but this presidential election is obviously what everybody's talking about. Anything else that the American populace are pretty concerned with right now that we should be aware of?
Yeah.
Well, the main thing now in all the headlines is Sarah Jessica Parker wearing the wrong type of outfit to the Met Ball. Did you read about this?
No, what happened?
You know, there's a theme, and it was technology-based this year, and she decided to ignore that and go with a Hamilton, the musical Hamilton-themed outfit, complete with frilly sleeves, and it's creating, for some bizarre reason, sort of a back and forth in the media. That's this morning's scuttlebutt.
How dare she, Mike? You need to have a word with her.
I'm going to Skype with her as soon as I get off this.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Always cool touching base with you as you give us the inside scoop on what's happening across the ocean. That there is Mike Sachs. You can keep up with him. It's Michael B. Sachs on Twitter. Like I said, he works at Vanity Fair. He writes for other magazines. His latest book is called Poking a Dead Frog. And he's got an awesome podcast where you can hear him unabridged for hours and hours on end. It's called Doing It with Mike Sachs. Mike, thank you so much.
Thank you. It's always fun.
Power. There you go. Kelman on CliffCentral.com.